Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians tonight, chapter 4. We'll just have a short message here. It won't be long. But I want to just try to say a few things to you tonight about this subject here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. Everybody there? Everybody's complaining about the pews hurting and going to sleep and being too cold and everything. I think we need to start standing while we sing some. And all right. Are you there? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? Who made you different than everybody else? Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? You ever think about that? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? In other words, why are you glorying in the things that you had nothing to do with, that you have? God gave them to you. Why are you glorying in them when you didn't have nothing to do with them? So I just want to talk to you for a minute here about what hast thou that thou didst not receive. All right, Father, thank you for the songs we've sang. Thank you for the good Lord's day. Thank you for the rest. And thank you for the scripture that so nourishes our soul, so corrects us and instructs us in the ways of righteousness. Please help us, Lord, to be sensitive and receptive to the word of God, that it might teach us and be a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet, and light unto our path. Lord, help us. Bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, very few people are satisfied with themselves. Have you ever noticed that? That's how they can sell so much makeup and so many diet programs and, oh my goodness, you name it. Everything there is to adorn, change, modify, dress, you know, your body mostly. Then there's all the other areas the same way. People are just not satisfied with themselves. That's about, you know, something about themselves that they have no control over is not pleasing to them. Something that you don't have nothing to do with. I got news for you. If you got a big nose, you can't help it. That's right. I mean, you got a big nose, so what? What's wrong with a big nose? Where'd you get that big nose? Huh? Did you do it yourself? Well, I know some people that didn't do it themselves, but somebody else did it to them by hitting them in the nose. My dad hit his sister with a ball bat. Didn't you do it, Dad? Wasn't that you? And she's got a big nose because of that, but she couldn't help it. You can't help how you look. Now, I'm not talking about just being sloppy and careless and dirty and unkempt and all of that. You can help how you can groom yourself. You can bathe yourself. You can look nice. That don't mean you're dissatisfied with yourself. I mean, that's just dignity and godliness, you know, to look the best you can. But that's not what I'm talking about here tonight. Most people are dissatisfied with their physical appearance. You know, I've seen some people who there is not a thing wrong with the way they look. And nobody else thinks there's anything wrong with the way they look. But they're not satisfied with the way they look. You know, why do all these celebrities and all these people, movie stars and all these, why do they have to have plastic surgery and nose jobs and every other kind of job? What do they, you know, why do they have to do that? They're not satisfied with themselves. You know, they may win the Miss World contest, beauty contest. That ain't good enough for them. They're going to have to do something to tuck and raise and, you know, modify it some way. A lot of people are not satisfied with their intelligence or their perceived intelligence. They think they're dumb. And they complain about it. Well, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? And, you know, now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou didst not receive it? And let me ask you another question. Why do you complain as if you didn't receive it? Why are you complaining? If about what you got, what you are, what you look like, whatever your level of intelligence is. And let me tell you something, that's not everything. A lot of that is just bad mental habits and lack of discipline. You can gird up the loins of your mind and you can think. And a man that's not, or a woman that's not, doesn't have a high IQ, they can be smarter than some genius. That's obvious to all of us. A lot of people are not satisfied with their strength. My, my. Why is going to the gym such a big thing? Well, I mean, let me rephrase it. Why do they want you to think that going to the gym is such a big thing? Yeah. Build up your muscles. Is that really why people go to the gym? Anybody got any idea why people really go to the gym? How what kind of business would the gyms do if they just wouldn't allow women in there? Reckon their business would fall off? Do you reckon? Huh? Well, I promise you it would. Not satisfied with their strength. How many of you are as strong as you would like to be? Oh my goodness. A lot of people aren't satisfied with their talents and abilities. I can't do nothing. I can't sing. I can't play nothing. I mean, I just ain't no good for nothing. I ain't got no talents. A lot of people make their own life misery because of their dissatisfaction with something that they have absolutely no control over. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27, Jesus said, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" You sit and worry about it and think about it and be dissatisfied and discontent with you. You look in the mirror and say, "Oh, I wish I was like this. I wish my eyes, I wish my nose, I wish my..." By doing that, do you change a thing?
Nope.
Nope. Not a thing. You can't add one cubit to your stature by just thinking about it, taking thought. People are always looking at someone else and wishing to be like them in the qualities that we just talked about. Their physical appearance, their intelligence, their strength, their health, their talents and abilities. They're always looking at somebody else and wishing they were like them. But what about that question he asked us in the verse there? Who maketh thee to differ from another? Why are you not like that person that you're envying and, coveting what they are, what they have? Why are you not like that? Who made you different than them? God did. That's right. So, then on the other hand, if we're pleased with ourselves in any of these areas, what right have we got to be proud about it? You look in the mirror and say, "Man, woo-hoo, look at that." I mean, I'm just sure that everybody that sees me, it just almost takes their breath away. Ain't never seen such a good looking thing. Well, where'd you get it? If you are, how'd you get that way? Huh? Was it your doing? Did you obtain that for yourself? Well, if you look in the mirror and all you're looking at is paint, maybe you did. But you're lying to yourself. That ain't you. Why doest thou glory? If you're pleased with yourself in any of those areas, it turns into pride. And why do you glory in that? How foolish is it to be proud of something that you had nothing to do with? You ever think about that? I'm going to have to shut that door. Well, how foolish is it to be proud of something that you had nothing to do with? Yes, it's very foolish. So what if you're good looking? You didn't have nothing to do with that. So what if you're strong, the strong man? You didn't have nothing to do with that. No. So we have no right to be proud and boastful of something that we simply received. You know, like we obtained it by our own merits. You got nothing to be proud of. You have no right to be proud of it. Likewise, we have no right to be sad, ashamed, and bitter about the way God made us. Y'all listening to this? And the measure of any of these physical and mental qualities that he's endowed us with that we just talked about. You ain't got no reason to be ashamed. You ain't got no reason to be sad and depressed. You ain't got no reason to go around having your pity party because of the way you look, the way you are, or anything. God, who made you to differ from another? God did. You ain't got no right to rebel against God. You got no right to lay to God's charge some injustice that he's done you because you're not like somebody else. He didn't need two of that person that has got something that you wish you had. You know, what a shame people live their lives just envying and coveting what other people have and what other people are. And you miss whatever God's put you here for, you completely miss it. The things we do have control over, the things that we should... The things that we do have control over are the things that we should strive to do well with. I try to capitalize my words so I can say it right. I didn't do it. The things we do have control over are the things that we should strive to do well with. There's some things you can do to make you look better, to make yourself stronger, to make yourself a little less foolish with your decisions and choices and all of the things that dumb things you do. And then you end up saying, I'm stupid. And man, sometimes other people say, you're stupid. And they're right. It don't mean you're low intelligence. It just means you're foolish. You ain't thinking. How many of you, when you were a kid, had your parents tell you, think? Why don't you think? Learn to think. Yes. That's one of the big things about being a parent, is trying to get that child to get that thing in gear and think. Don't just do something. Think. Kids don't think. Oh, they do, but it's not in the ways they should think. It's all haywire. I mean, it's just all tangled up, and they don't think when they should, and they do think when they shouldn't. You got to get that all lined out in discipline, and you can better yourself. You do have control over how you think. We've talked about that over and over here. You do have control over what you look like. Now, you can take, you can take what you got and make the best of it. Some people just ain't got much, but they can steal. That has nothing to do with your value as a person. It has nothing to do really with what other people think of you. People don't love you based on your physical appearance. Well, that's right. Now, you may be made fun of. Other people may laugh at you because that's the way it's been since the world began. It always will be, but that's just part of life. There ain't a one of us in here that ain't been made fun of. Have they? Anybody in here? Nobody's ever made fun of you. Just ain't true, is it? No, we've all been made fun of over something about our physical appearance, or over something about our intelligence, or over something about how strong we were. Right? Yes, sir. Or talents and abilities, especially when it comes to sports and things like that. It's funny to me, you know, they talk about all this bullying and it's such a big deal and all of this, but they're so big on sports, and that is the main place where people get bullied in school. And it's sanctioned there, I guess. Yeah. The things we do have control over. while we do this, we got to keep in mind that without Jesus, we can do nothing. And if God does enable us and bless our efforts, they'll come. If He doesn't, they'll come to nothing. We can't do anything over the things we do control. We're not going to do anything unless God helps us and God blesses it. Y'all understand that? If God does bless our efforts and enables us to succeed, then we got to realize it's His doing. And without His blessing, we couldn't have done it. We don't have anything that we didn't receive. And we ain't going to have anything that we don't receive. All good gifts come from God. Here's Benjamin Franklin. You know this. You've heard this quote before. But when this country was starting, and they were all met together, this is what Benjamin Franklin said. He said, "I have lived, sir, a long time." This is the old deist Ben Franklin. You know, they want to make you believe he was just some kind of pagan or something. Here's what he said: "I have lived, sir, a long time." He was the oldest in all of the Revolutionary War. Benjamin Franklin was the oldest. He was 80 something. Most of the ones, the rest of them, were in their teens or 20s. Did you know that? Alexander Hamilton. Most all of the ones in the Revolutionary War were young men. George Washington was a little older, but he wasn't that old. Benjamin Franklin was old. Anyway, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without His notice, it is probable that an empire cannot rise without His aid." Ben Franklin. There's things about our appearance and our strength and our health and our thinking that we can do something about, and we should. We ought to take what we got and make the best of it. Yes. It's what we've been entrusted with. It's what God has given us. And when Jesus gave the parable about the talents, you remember? When the husbandman came back, he wanted to know what they had done with them. And the one that just kept what he had given him and didn't lose it, well, he was the one that lost out. He wanted them to gain, to be fruitful, to use what he gave them and increase it. And so we ought to use what we got. That's our duty. But at the best, all we can do is limited, and therefore we should do all we can and then accept with joy what God's given us. That's right. Nobody should die unhappy and unsatisfied and discontent. And they shouldn't live that way either. All things are of God. James chapter 1 verse 17 is a verse I partially quoted a while ago. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father," capital F, "of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." So every good thing comes from where? Your own hand? From somebody else? No, it came from God. We possess nothing that is not given to us of God. Y'all let that sink in a little bit. Ain't nothing you got. The clothes on your back. The food that you are going to eat back here in a minute. The pews you're sitting on, the air you're breathing. I mean, ain't nothing. Your next heartbeat. It's just the gift of God. God. I mean, life and everything that it contains is a gift of God. That's where it comes from. You got nothing that ain't been given to you. Not even your breath that you're breathing right now. So, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7. "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain," it's certain, "that we can carry nothing out." You know what you're going to carry out of the world? Just exactly what you carried into it. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. Job understood that. Didn't matter all them camels and all of his riches and everything he had. Didn't matter about, he understood. When I die, I'm not taking none of it with me. So why is everybody so greedy? Why is everybody so covetous? Why does everybody have to have so much of everything and wants everything they see and looks for something else to want and never satisfied with the way they look, with the way they are, with how tall they are, with how short they are, with how fat they are, with how they don't like the way their feet. I got ugly feet. They're your feet. Why you want to hate part of yourself? Pitiful. It's terrible. To live life dissatisfied with yourself, with your own self, and complain and live your life in bitterness because you're like you are. Who you going to blame it on? Your mom and dad? Well, that's where most people blame everything on. No, you have to blame it on God. Why do we blame God for what we don't have and then boast of the things we do have? If we get anything good, we want to claim the credit for it. Yes. We should be content with such things as we have and thank God for them. Realizing that we're just stewards and using the things for just a short time. Why can't we realize that? The older you get, the more you ought to realize that. What you have is not really yours. It ain't your money. It ain't your house. It ain't your land. I don't care if the deed does say to you and your heirs forever. That is a lie. It's not true. It ain't yours, and it ain't going to be theirs. We all know it belongs to the government. You don't pay your taxes, they'll kick you off of it. That's right. You don't own nothing. Silly to think that we own anything. Amen. But you sure ain't going to own it after you're dead. You ever look at an abstract? We've got an abstract to our place there. And you can go way, way back and all those people thought it was theirs. The place where we live, there's a whole string of people that thought it was theirs. And then before that was started out being written, there was Indians lived there that thought it was theirs. Mercy, mercy. We should live as guests here on earth because that's exactly what we are. But instead we act like we own everything. It's mine. It's mine. This is my house. This is my property. This is my car. This is my money. Yes. And it's my body. Bing. You're dead. Now what? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Who's it talking about? That's Hebrews chapter 11. That's talking about all the people who've come before us that lived by faith. They believed God and they lived their lives that way. And what did they consider themselves? Pilgrims and strangers. They didn't belong here, didn't own nothing here. They were just passing through. This world was not their home. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Luke chapter 12, verse 21. So is he, said Jesus, that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know the context of that? The man whose fields produce so much bounty that the barns wouldn't hold. His servants come to him and said, we got so much, there ain't room in the barns. He said, we'll tear down the barns and build bigger barns. And he said, I'll lay it all up and say to my soul, eat, drink, be merry. have many, much for many days, have laid up for many days. And then Jesus said, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. And then whose shall all these things be? And then this verse says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Who do you think you got the most, where you got the most treasure laid up right now? In the bank? Well, I doubt if any of us do. But what about all of our junk and trinkets and things that we just value and treasure so much? I mean, we've all got sheds and houses and everything just full of stuff that we just, man, we put a high value on it. Do you? Well, let me tell you something. I've mentioned this to you before, but when we lived in Virginia, there was an old black man lived on the road there right on the curve. You remember that? He was an old man, lived there by himself in this old shack. And he disappeared. 2 or 3 days, nobody seen him. And they finally found him. He'd run off in his pickup. He'd run off of a hill up there around Stanton somewhere. He had a heart attack or something and died. Well, he stayed there for a day or two before they found him. But I mean, as soon as they found him and he was dead, I was there. The very next day, I was coming up the road to come home, and I met this truck all loaded with junk. You've seen how they pile chairs and boxes and everything all over the truck, tied up there with ropes here. He was coming out of the road. He'd done been down there. Whoever it was, done been down there at that old man's house. The day after they found him dead, hauling that stuff off. That night, I seen smoke coming out of the chimney where he lived. Somebody else done moved in. That's the way it is. Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall all these things be? Somebody will be getting your stuff the day after you die. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You ought to be satisfied with what you are. I'm talking about the way you look, how your physical appearance. You shouldn't spend your life mourning over, I'm ugly, I'm fat. Well, you can do something about that fat, you know. Yeah. And if you don't like you're ugly, you can do a little bit about that too. Smile. That'll fix that right there, just like that. You don't even have to paint it. Just smile. I'm not kidding. I'm telling you, that's the truth.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Yes. That's true.
Changes the way everybody feels about you when you smile. Just a little smile. Makes you, well, it increases your attractiveness 100-fold. I'm not kidding. That's right. That looks ugly. I don't care how pretty your face is. And your face is going to freeze like that too. Doing that all the time. That's the truth. Mm-hmm. Amen. Don't complain about the way God made you. And don't be dissatisfied about things that you can't do nothing about and you didn't have anything to do with it. You didn't have anything to do with the way you look. You don't have anything to do with whatever your level of intelligence is. Honor all men. Isn't that what the Bible tells us to do? Well, how about yourself in that matter? You ought to look at yourself and say, well, God made me. Thank you, Lord. God must have knew what he was doing. He didn't make me like everybody else. No, he didn't. He didn't make none of us like everybody else. Boy, that's a good thing. There's a lot of people I don't want to be like. Sure, I'm glad he didn't make me like that. Mm-hmm. Oh well, that's just a short message. This is, you know, I hear it a lot. Different places I hear it. Especially young people. They're the ones not satisfied with what they are. Don't like it. You know. You are what you are. Amen. Stand with me. Y'all pray for one another. Pray for Elizabeth over there. They're on the way home. All right. I heard the dinging a while ago. Well, I'm not surprised.
She said it was
Yeah. Well, remember her. You know, we don't want nothing to happen to the baby or anything here this close. And so pray for her. Pray for Esther, too. She's got a month longer to go than Elizabeth does.
3 weeks, and
3 weeks, huh? Not a month, 3 weeks. This is all approximate, you know. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. And then we can let the ladies go back here and get things ready. All right. Yeah, Libby's sick. Remember her. Pray about Dakota's job, too. He hadn't heard anything, has he?
No, nothing relevant.
Nothing relevant. All right. Well, he told me he'd know in a couple of days, probably. But anyway, remember to pray about that. Pray for one another. Thank you, Lord, for the services today. Thank you for the Word of God. Bless it to our hearts. Help us to understand these things and apply them in our life. Pray you bless the time together back here. Be it Elizabeth and Gary, they get back safely. Watch over with this and this baby, Lord, I pray. And Esther and these other girls, too. Lord, help them. Watch over them during these last few weeks here. And Lord, pray you'd work in other situations, in other hearts. And Lord, you know what I'm talking about. Pray you'd just help each one here in this church. Help us to be faithful. Help us, Lord, to be real. Help us to be a blessing out there to other people and to one another. Bless our church that we might move forward here and see some good done and make a difference in Jesus' name. Amen.